Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called When the Government Decided to Turn Our Town into a Reservoir. They told us it was to help generate energy. They didn't tell us what they were trying to drown. By Outside Your Window off Reddit. Now a little bit of a shout out before we get started. I'd like to plug their book, 5-Minute Frights, Volume 2. There will be a link in the description that you can use to purchase this collection of stories. If you enjoy this one, I would highly recommend checking out more and supporting this author, and thank you to them for letting me read this story. Let's get started. When I walked into our house, I was expecting Mom to be there with a frozen bag of peas. She knew the drill. It wasn't my first fight at Round Valley Middle School, but I knew it would be my last. By Monday, every locker, classroom, and lost pair of sweatpants would be under 200 feet of water. But Mom wasn't there. The house was quiet. "Mom?" I said. It was 1 p.m., 3 hours earlier than I normally got home. Dad was usually in his office on a work call with Mom in the kitchen working on her next strange project. For the last few weeks, it had been pickling carrots. When I walked toward the kitchen, I saw a note on the counter. "Billy, went into town to finalize some things. Be home around 5. P.S. Don't let anyone inside the house, even if you know them. Love, Mom and Dad." I crumbled up the paper and threw it in the trash. Then I went to the freezer for my peas. The boy who punched me was an old friend of mine. Although we hadn't been friends for a few weeks, ever since the town decided to forego our land and turn it into a reservoir, the energy at school shifted. In a way, it felt like our lives were ending, even though the mayor said we were simply moving up the hill. Apparently, reservoirs were good for generating power and would help fund the town's longevity, blah, blah, blah. When I told Dad about that, he simply nodded, then changed the subject. "Whatever they'll tell you," he said, then started taping up another box. I didn't really understand it. All I did understand was that everything I ever knew would soon be gone. I opened the freezer and pulled out the peas. As I pressed them onto my face, the pain intensified. He got a really good shot on me this time. The fight happened during math class. The teacher scribbled some numbers on the board, then called on me to say what they equaled. I made up a number. 54, I said. The class laughed. My face felt hot. "No," she said. "Sometimes something will take the place of something else, like a symbol taking the place of a number. In this case, the answer is X." More laughter. "Don't worry, Billy," my old friend said, turning to face me. "The monster isn't going to feed on stupid people." When I opened my eyes again, I was on the ground, collapsed between the overturned chairs. He was underneath me, his face covered in blood. People started screaming. I didn't know what I was doing, but I felt better. Then he managed to get a fist free and hit me in the eye. I fell back, and the teacher pulled me off him. Then, an hour later, I was suspended. They didn't even bother calling my mom this time. The principal told me to walk home. I stood in the kitchen for a moment, the cold offering relief as my thoughts did the opposite. I hated being the problem child. I wished I could be more like my sister, even though I kind of hated her. Then, as if she heard me, the door opened. I turned to look. "Shouldn't you be at school?" she asked. My sister was standing in the doorway, her arms crossed. "Bailey?" I could just make her out, my good eye decoding the shapes. "What happened to your eye?" she asked. "What happened to your boarding school?" I asked, mimicking her tone. "I took the bus in," she said. "I wanted to spend one more night at the house before they drown us." I sat down at the kitchen table and took the peas off. My whole face was getting numb. Bailey sat down across from me. It was strange that she had come back. Her school was 2 hours away by bus, and she wasn't supposed to be home until the holidays. "So," she said, pointing at my face. "Your eye." "It was nothing," I said. "Is someone bullying you?" "No," I whined. "Just stop." She raised her hands in surrender. "Okay, fine," she said. "I'm not trying to make you upset." She looked different today. It had been the longest day we'd ever been apart. I didn't realize how much a face could change in just a few weeks. "Mom and Dad are going to be so mad that you're skipping boarding school," I said. "I got permission," she said. My teachers thought the reservoir was a mean thing to do to our town. I shrugged, hating that I agreed with her. It wasn't fair that we had to move just because some energy company wanted to build a reservoir. Plus, this whole situation led to a bunch of silly rumors. According to the boys at my lunch table, there was some creature living in the woods, and the water was a way to push it out. In the last few weeks, a few dogs turned up dead, along with an old woman in her home. According to some eyewitness accounts, aka drunks, different townspeople had been wandering down Main Street on the night of each attack. Apparently, their mouths were covered in blood. Then, the next day, those same people would be walking around town like nothing happened. Johnny from school said it might be a skinwalker, I said to Mom a few nights after they announced the reservoir. The three of us were around the dinner table, Bailey already off to boarding school. That's silly, Mom said. I think you should switch lunch tables. Dad went on to say that monsters weren't real, that the dogs got attacked by a bear, the old woman fell down the stairs, the rumors were just rumors. I was thinking about those rumors as Bailey leaned forward. She brought her voice to a whisper. Do you believe them? She asked. Do I believe what? Those rumors, she said. I shook my head. The punch must have knocked a few screws loose. Was I saying that out loud? I asked. Bailey shrugged. I wouldn't call it a monster, she said, then smiled. Maybe it's just hungry. I looked at her for a moment. She was always correcting me, like everything I said was the stupidest thing she'd ever heard. It wasn't enough that she was the pretty one, too. She had bleach blonde hair, blue eyes, and freckles, while I got left with black hair and dirt eyes. Our whole lives, people would stop us on the street and say how cute she was, how she should model or date their sons. I figured I would at least get the brains, but she got that too. She excelled so much at school that the boarding school across the state reached out to us to see if Mom and Dad would send her there, free of charge. I asked if I could go too, and my parents said they could never afford that. So I was stuck at the school down the road with the peeling paint and cockroaches. Tell me about this new school, she said. Where's it going to be? Just up the hill, I said. It's all the same, though. Same teachers, students, same crap. Bailey smiled and stood up. She went to the kitchen and grabbed an apple. She pulled a small knife out of the knife block and sliced off a piece. Change could be good, she said, sliding the cut apple into her mouth. She smiled as she chewed, bits of apple flying out and onto the table. She was normally such a prim and proper eater. It was strange to see her so ravenous. Within a few seconds, she took the knife and sliced off another piece, then slid it into her nasty, apple-filled mouth. I don't want things to change, I said. Before I knew what was happening, the apple was gone. No core, no stems. It had disappeared. Did you eat the... By the way, she said, her mouth empty again. When do our parents get home? I paused for a moment, inspecting her. I had never done any drugs, but maybe she had started to do them. I knew it made people a little weird, and she was definitely being a little weird. If not, a lot weird. Soon, I said. They'll be home soon. Bailey nodded, then glided the knife across her fingertips, pressing down on the skin just enough so it didn't break. It looked like she got some kind of pleasure from the pain. Are you okay? I asked. Bailey nodded, but wouldn't look at me. She looked preoccupied by something. There's barely any trees up the hill, she said. I kept staring at her. She pushed the blade too hard and sliced her thumb. No blood came out. Bailey, I said, you cut yourself. It's not good up the hill, she whispered, shaking her head. The valley was perfect. My muscles tightened. I kept looking at her, scanning for cracks. This was Bailey. It looked like her, smiled like her, talked like her. But something was off. A cold wind coming up from the cellar. I knew I wasn't smart or good-looking or charming, but if there was anything I did have, it was intuition. I knew which crop seasons would be good or bad. I always knew when there was going to rain a few hours before. I knew if Mom or Dad were upset by something. When I felt something, it took over all of my senses, and I definitely felt something here. I stood up from the chair and took a step back. Now, Bailey's eyes locked onto me. She held a knife in her hand and stepped toward me. "You look frightened," she said. I couldn't talk. My spit dried up. "Don't be frightened," she said. "Tight muscles aren't good for meat." I covered my face as Bailey leapt toward me. Before it all went dark, I could see her features melt away like wax dripping down a candle. Her blonde hair turned to straw grass. Her eyes twisted to something small and beady, like mouse eyes. Her skin wrinkled and glowed soft and red. She made a sound like an eagle on fire. It filled my head instantly, ravaging my thoughts. As her hands gripped my shoulders, I flew back into the wall, slamming my head on a picture frame. Her breath was hot and rancid, like summer pond scum. Then I heard another sound. The screen door flew open. She jumped off me, and I listened as her claws tapped across on hardwood. I opened my eyes. Bailey, or whatever she was gone. Mom and Dad were standing in the doorway. They ran over to me and lifted me up. Dad looked around, the color stripped from his face. Mom looked like she was going to vomit. "Was it here?" Dad asked. I still couldn't speak. "We don't need to finish packing," Mom said. "Let's just go. We can buy new things." "But Bailey, I finally said. "We'll call her at the hotel," Dad said, then lifted me on my feet and pushed me out the door. A moment later, we were in the car. I kept looking out the window, waiting to see her again. Then, in the distance, I noticed something. In the cornfield next to our house, a few rows of crop were flattened, the stalks around them shaking. The hotel was full of people from the town, like some kind of refugee camp. I even saw my old friend who I punched. When we locked eyes, we nodded to one another, like the whole encounter had created some kind of respect between us. When the shaking in my hands finally went down, I took a shower and got ready for bed. As I laid there on the stiff motel mattress, I listened as Mom tried and failed to call Bailey's school. By the third attempt, my heart sank. Mom looked worried too. Then, miraculously, I heard her voice. "Sorry," I heard through the phone. "I was at the library. A big exam coming up." Mom continued on with the conversation, her worry melting away. Meanwhile, Dad came over and sat on the bed next to me. He put his hand on my knee and looked at me. "You okay?" he asked. I nodded, then shook my head. "Sure," I said. "Maybe. I don't know." "Maybe is good," he said. As Mom went on asking her standard checking questions, I could hear Dad's breathing pick up. He was normally a rock. Now, he looked more like a scared child. I looked up at him. "What was that thing?" I whispered. Dad looked at me, then shook his head. "Just get some rest," he said. "The waters. They will be here soon." And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, once again, consider purchasing a copy of the author's book. Links will be in the description of this video and episode. If you do, that's great. Let me know. And if you are on YouTube, well, I'd love it if you'd subscribe, like the video, or just leave me a comment with your thoughts. I love reading your guys' comments. I really, really do appreciate it. And if you'd like to support the channel more, you can do so by going to Patreon, where there are early access goodies for now. And I guess outside of that, if you'd like to send me your own story, you can go to storiesaftermidnight.com and do that. And while you're there, you could click a link and join our Discord. It's a pretty fun-filled place. Not too busy. Anyways, I will stop rambling. Thank you very much for listening to the story and listening to me ramble. Appreciate it. I will see you in the next one.